Do you remember how old you were when y'all got your first car?
No, I don't. Daddy got a car. We used when I was just a young child, Mom and Daddy must have moved around a lot. I know one year we moved up into Little Valley, and Daddy farmed up there. He didn't work in public works or in factory work, you know. And I don't think we had any transportation there. Mr. Francis Reed, who was a good friend of Daddy's, I sort of looked at him as a godfather. He would come and get us and take us to church and things like that. Then he must have bought a new car. And he sold Daddy his car. And I don't know, he probably didn't pay very much for it. But we didn't keep it very long. For some cars, I can't remember that car very well. But that's the first one I remember. We didn't keep it very long. And then when we moved back from Little Valley into town here and stayed here a few months. Then we moved out in Miller's Hollow in the ridges up there. And that's where we were there for about 6 years. And I know at one time we had this old T-model Ford that we drove. And then Daddy got rid of it for some cause. Then he got a buggy. So we rode it in a buggy and we had this pretty little horse. Oh, it was the prettiest little horse you've ever seen. That high stepping. Oh, I felt so proud riding behind that pretty horse, you know. But one day that horse bit at Mama or something. She got scared of it. So Daddy sold the horse and got an old slow mule. And I felt so embarrassed when we were getting that buggy behind that old slow mule. I just couldn't hurt it. I just thought it was awful to have to ride behind that old slow mule. But I always liked that little old horse. Trotted along, you know. But then, you know, he got a better job. That was, you know, that was just before the Depression. And he's making more money. He's working at the pipe shop. It used to be Walworth Company. They were the ones that... But I don't know if they're in business anymore. They made tools, you know, and fittings. They were a tool company, fitting company. And when the Depression came, they shut this plant down in Ottawa. And they offered a lot of the men that worked there that were skilled an opportunity to go to, I believe it was St. Louis, Missouri, to a plant up there. But Daddy didn't go. He stayed here. What was I going to say? I forgot.
We were just talking about the different modes of transportation.
Transportation, okay. When Daddy's job improved and he started making more money, that's when we bought this, it was practically a new car. Pretty car. Chevrolet Cabriolet, we called it. The front seat was closed in, and it had a rumble seat. Mm-hmm. And me and my little sister had to ride the rumble seat usually. Unless it was real cold weather, then they'd let us sit in their lap up in the front there.
Okay, what are some of the most significant events that you can remember throughout your life?
One of the most significant events is the improvement in transportation. You know, when I was a child, up in those ridges, the roads were just like trails. They didn't even have ditches by the side of the road. No culverts, you know, for water to run across the road. And you had all these old mud holes you had to go around, you know. And then they started improving the roads. And then up until close to World War II, roads still weren't very good, you know. They had paved a lot of roads. Even down through Curtiston, where I lived, U.S. 11 didn't go through Curtiston at that time. U.S. 11, you know, turned here in Ottawa and went over to Gadsden and turned at 3rd Street south and down on what's Rainbow Drive. That was the way U.S. 11 used to go. And the road through Curtiston wasn't even paved. In fact, when there, close to where the school is now, on down for about a mile, it was more or less just a trail. It wasn't even... They put that road through there then. The old road used to go around on that, what, James Road, I guess it was. But transportation has changed all during my lifetime, too. I mean, all kinds of transportation. You see, from the mid-1800s up until about World War II, railroads were a major transportation. Well, after World War II, when they started improving roads even more, started building four-lane roads, you know, and then they came up with this interstate system, then that cut down on people traveling by train. A lot of people got their own cars and started driving their own cars, you know, like going from city to city. And, of course, buses did too. But in the meantime, then you had air transportation, which was, you know, had started, oh, I don't know when, back in the early 1900s, I guess. And it became more prominent. And, you know, more and more people began using air transportation. And it has, well, I don't know, you may even remember it in your lifetime, but it's got more and more prominent. And more people, even today, go by air, you know, than they did just not too many years ago. So they just about done away with rail transportation so far as passenger travel is concerned. There's not very many passenger trains left, you know, especially in this country. Of course, railroads are used quite extensively now for hauling freights, you know. But they used to be a major thing for passenger transportation, you see. Well, other things that have changed, like this lady and I were talking the other day, that have changed. You know, we've seen radio develop, which was not, you know, we didn't have a radio when we were out as a little child. In fact, we thought we were really big when we got a record player, you know, this old phonograph, you know, with these old records. We thought we were really growing strong, you know. Then it came out with radio, and then long just before World War II, they started developing television. Then after World War II, television took over. And it's become a very major thing, you know, with people in their homes. And telephones were not very, well, people had them when I was growing up, and they weren't as prominent. There must have been a time, long about when my mother was growing up, when she was a teenager, say, or a child, that people out in the country had telephones. I guess it was sort of a faddish thing. Everybody bought a telephone in the country, and they had these lines run, you know, from place to place, and they could talk to one another. Well, it got to where nobody would keep the lines up, and they couldn't figure out who was supposed to keep the telephone lines up. And so you couldn't call from one place to the other. And the telephones, when I was a child, you'd go to visit people, and you'd see an old telephone with a little crank handle on the side of it. You'd crank to ring the bell, you know. Well, you'd look at it, but it wasn't in use because the lines were down to the next house, and nobody would keep the lines up. So they didn't have any telephone service. But, you know, long about the time of World War II and thereafter, the telephone company started putting up lines all over the country, and everybody started getting telephone or the Bell company, you see. And then, of course, they broke Bell up into several companies later. But that's one thing that really changed, you know. And then we were talking about grocery store. You don't buy things in a grocery store like you used to, you know. You used to have, you know, you'd have to buy flour to make your bread. And nothing was partially processed. Everything was somewhat different. And they, you didn't go in there with a basket and gather up things. You'd go into the grocery store and tell the clerk what you want. You want some potatoes, you want some beans, you want some salt, or you want some, you know, whatever you wanted. And they'd go get it measured up for you. And you didn't go get it yourself.
Okay, how over the years has the life changed from agricultural to industrial?
Well, when I was growing up, you know, the major population of the country was in the country, and they depended on agriculture to live. But as time went on, even though the Great Depression came and a lot of people went back to the farm to try to make a living, even during that time, there was this movement towards more industrialization. And then they started trying to improve the way they manufactured things. And then they began doing automated things in factories to make things, you know. In fact, I was a molder and a founder. And they changed that in that they started making machines that could do the work, you see. And they could do it faster and with less labor, you see. So a lot of people, you see, were put out of work by that. Okay, now, you know, just in the last few years, things have changed from that. You're seeing more and more factories that have tedious labor going what they call offshore. You know, they set their factories up in Puerto Rico or some of the islands off down there in the Caribbean or over in Hong Kong or somewhere out of the United States, mainly to avoid labor unions and to get cheap labor, which, you know, a lot of people look at as slave labor, and they bring these products back into this country. And it has become that, you know, we are depending on computers now to operate everything, and there's less and less people that are working in factories making things, and more people are selling things and furnishing services in this country now than there used to be. See, there's not very many people working, farming, making, producing food or fiber, and there's not very many people, relatively, I'm talking about, that are actually making things with their hands to be sold in this country. A lot of it is made somewhere else and then sold here. But we're depending now more and more, as time goes by, it seems, on computers and managing things and selling things.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had one sister and three brothers.
Okay, and like your family, were they really close? Can you tell a difference in the way the families were when you were growing up and during the Depression as compared to now?
Yeah. People used to visit and be with people more than they are now. I guess there's some families that still are really close, but a lot of families are not. They, you know, once they get their individual family, they they don't stay in contact with the rest of, you know, the larger family like they used to, the extended family, in other words. They seem to sort of neglect that. They're occupied with so many things nowadays. There's so many things going on that people can get involved in, you know. And it seems like everybody's just running everywhere, trying to stay up with everything, and they don't have time to live, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. What did y'all do for entertainment as a child? What were some of the things you did with your friends and stuff, just entertainment, since you didn't have, like, a TV and stuff?
Well, we played games. The children played games a lot. And we were always wanting to go to the neighbors, you know, to visit with the child on the next farm or the next house, you know, and play games. And we'd play all the time. And a lot of times we'd just walk through the fields and woods, you know, and look at things. And that was, for me, that was entertaining. We'd just climb to the top of a hill, for example, just to see what we could see, you know. And, of course, in the summertime, we boys always like to try to find a swimming hole. We'd go swimming. And we just, but mainly it was some sort of games. It was like children's games. And as we got older, of course, we played baseball. It was our brand. We'd play what was called shove-up. I don't know if you're familiar with it. We'd switch around. You know, if we wanted to get out, then we'd switch on around, you know. And eventually everybody would get a chance to bat.